The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
When you feel pulled apart by temptation, when the habits of your life are pulling you one way, He is a living Savior. The Christ of Revelation is all-powerful, and He will beat back the forces of hell and temptation in your life.
This is Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. Today, good God, bad world. Why? A message from an ancient manuscript reveals the meaning of human suffering. Part 2. Enjoy, and remember, you can always catch up with past messages and stay up to date with Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark by going to hopelives365.com. And now, Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley.
Let's suppose that a young, intelligent 20-something is questioning a political official. And let's suppose he's questioning that political official about the way the government is being run. And let's suppose he's accusing that political official of not running government properly. Let's suppose that he's saying that you're unjust, you're unfair, you're in this for yourself. Because that particular mayor or governor or president or king or leader, because he has the authority to do so, let's suppose he calls out the militia and he calls out the army and they kill all the opposition and destroy them. So everybody that's questioned the authority figure was killed. Would that prove that the authority figure was right? Would it prove he was right if, because he had the power, he could destroy the opposition? Not at all. Had God destroyed Lucifer and had God destroyed the evil angels, what would have happened? Every being in heaven would have served God from fear. It would have changed the whole dynamic of the universe. And deep within their hearts, there would have been questions about the character of God. If you can put somebody in prison because you have power, and that because that person questions you, then everybody else has trauma. You think of the totalitarian states that have existed in our world. Those totalitarian leaders have sent fear in their inhabitants. God would not rule with an iron fist and totalitarian power. It's against His character of love. So the weapon that God had was love. The question really raised was, is God really just? Is God's way really the best? God would allow time to run out. He would allow time to go on. And as time went on, God would reveal His love in a world of sickness and suffering and heartache and sorrow. As time went on, the human race would see in this cosmic drama between good and evil, we would see that Satan's way brings sorrow and death, and God's way brings life and joy and happiness. The Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 9, the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, the old serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan is cast out of heaven into the earth. But that leads us to another series of questions. The universe must see that God is love. They must see that His way is best. Satan is cast out of heaven. But wait, how did planet Earth become involved in this cosmic conflict? Did God say, look, I just want to get rid of Satan, so I know what I'll do. I've got a planet down there called Earth, and I'm going to get rid of the problem and cast him into Earth. Is that what God said? Was planet Earth created as a dumping off place for Satan? Was planet Earth created just to get rid of a problem that God had? Not at all. When God created the Earth, He created it perfect. When God created the Earth, Its air was crystal clear. When God created the earth, flowers dotted the landscape, and he carpeted earth with living green, and God, babbling brooks sang and danced their way through the land. And when God created the earth, the birds sang, and the animals walked in harmony, and love and joy and peace walked hand in hand in earth. But Satan, seeing this planet, came to earth. God had given every heavenly being a choice. And if God would not give Adam and Eve, our first parents, the choice that he had given the rest of the universe, Satan would have cried unfair. Satan would say, wait a minute, God, you do not want to give your favorite planet Earth the opportunity to choose. God created Earth perfect. God created Earth without a taint of sin. It was God's ideal that Earth live filled with joy and happiness, no sickness or suffering, and that Earth live this way forever and ever and ever. But if God would not have given Lucifer an opportunity to tempt Adam and Eve, if they could not voluntarily refuse his claims, if they did not have the power of choice, Lucifer would have shouted before the universe, you see how God is? He won't give earth beings a choice because he knows if they had it, they'd choose my way. God is not a God of love. He doesn't care about the universe. So God, to be just and fair, and because he desired the happiness of the universe, gave Eve that opportunity. Satan came to the tree and he said, God said that if you sinned, you'll die. Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5. Eve, you will not surely die. You're not going to die, Eve. Partake of the fruit, Eve. You will not die. Genesis 3, 4 and 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes are going to be open. You'll be like God, knowing good or evil. God's restricting your freedom. God's limiting your happiness. You're in chains of bondage. Eve, eat of the tree. She followed the lies of Satan. And as she did, sorrow and sickness and suffering came through that door. You see, God had a door that he wanted forever closed, the door of disobedience. But when Eve opened the door of disobedience, the Bible says, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, your sins have separated you from God. And we separate ourselves from God. We're separated from the source of life and the source of love and the source of joy and the source of happiness and the source of goodness. And we're separated from the source of life and joy and happiness and goodness. Sickness and suffering and heartache come upon the human race because sin produces anxiety and it produces suffering and it produces death. What was God to do? The human race that he loved had rebelled against him. Would God push Earth out into the far reaches of space and quarantine it? Would God destroy all life on Earth and start over again? God's justice demanded that he do something. But God's love would not allow him to destroy a planet called Earth. Now, who's responsible for the sickness and the suffering and the heartache on Earth? Adam and Eve, our first parents, opened a door God wanted forever shut. Sin rushed in, and you and I have sinned. This is a planet in rebellion against God. And the disciples asked Jesus that same question. They said, Lord, who's responsible for the suffering? And Jesus told them a story. He said, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed good seed in the field. But when he went to sleep at night, tares, that is, the evil ones, that is, heartache and suffering and disappointment, all that grows in the field. And the disciples wondered, where did those tares come from? Where'd all that evil come from? Where'd that wickedness come from? Where'd all that suffering come from? And Jesus tells them in the parable. He raises a question in the story. Matthew 13, verse 27. Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And Jesus responds. He said to them, an enemy has done this. There's an enemy of God, an enemy of man, Lucifer, the devil, the evil one, the fallen angel. He has sown the sorrow, the sickness, the suffering in our world. All of the suffering in our world is the result of a planet that is saturated in rebellion against God. It's a planet. The Bible says that it's a planet that Satan has in his grip or in his control. The Bible says that Satan is the prince and the power of this earth. God created Adam and Eve with dominion over this world. But when they fell, Satan took that dominion. Many people picture Satan with a red suit Got a horns, a little beard, a pitchfork, and they picture him as being in some hot spot in the center of the earth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Satan is an angel of dazzling brightness that has fallen, that has rebelled against God, that has led earth into sorrow and disappointment. We're living in a planet in rebellion. One third of the angels followed Lucifer, and they were cast out of heaven. Lucifer came to planet Earth. Adam and Eve were tempted, and they too left that garden in shame. Now the question is, why doesn't God do something about the suffering of our world? Why doesn't God do something? God has done something. God is doing something. God will yet do something. God has done something. Right in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them a promise of hope. In the midst of their sorrow, in the midst of their suffering, when Adam and Eve had sinned and the seeds of death were planted in their body, God gave them a promise in that garden. And God said in Genesis 3, verse 15, he looked at Lucifer and he said, I'll put enmity, that is a separation, between you and the woman, between your seed, your children, and her seed. He, the Messiah, he, the Redeemer, he, the Savior, he, Jesus Christ, shall bruise your head, Satan, and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus would come. He would live the perfect life that Adam and Eve should have lived. He would die the death that Adam and Eve should have died. He, the righteous one, would come. He would face all of Satan's temptations. He would walk over the ground that Adam had failed on. He would face the temptations that you and I would face in every area of our life. Jesus would come, and down through the centuries, every generation from Adam to the generations of the New Testament with Joseph and Mary, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, every generation in the Old Testament looked forward to the coming of the Messiah.
We'll be right back with more from Pastor Mark Finley. We thank you for listening today and hope you're enjoying this message. Our mission is to present Christ-centered biblical truths of Scripture in a practical, relevant way so that you too can experience the abundant life that Christ offers and effectively share His life-changing truths with others. You can support this ministry and help us reach even more by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, back to Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark Finley.
The Christ that would come, that would slam shut the door that Adam and Eve opened, the door of death. The Christ that would come and bring salvation to the human race. There in that garden, in the midst of their tears and suffering, God gave them a promise. The Messiah would come. That Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That he would be the divine Son of God. That he would face Satan's temptations. That he would go to the cross of Calvary. That nails would be driven through his hands. That hanging on that cross, Jesus would suffer the death that you and I should have suffered. Adam deserved to die. Jesus Christ died. Adam died the physical death, but because Jesus died condemned for the sins of mankind, Adam can receive eternal life. Eve can receive eternal life. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have the seeds of death in our body. Why does not God do something about the problem of sin? He has. Jesus Christ has come. Jesus has hung on Calvary's cross. And when Christ hung on that cross, before the whole universe, Jesus cries out in his very life. The whole universe sees God is love, that God loves us too much to allow us to be lost. The cross answers the question that Satan raised in the controversy between good and evil. What was that question? God is not fair. God is not just. God doesn't love us. If you ever wonder in the sorrow of life, if you ever wonder in the heartbreak of life, if you ever wonder in life when things are not going well for you, look at the cross. If you ever wonder, does God love me? Look at the cross. There on that cross, Jesus bears our guilt. There on that cross, Jesus bears our shame. There on that cross, Jesus bears the condemnation of sin. And there on that cross, Jesus says, Jeremiah 31:3, a prediction of the cross, and Jesus, yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Satan is a liar. He's a liar. He says Jesus doesn't love you. And when you go through problems in your life now, when you go through difficulties in your life now, Satan whispers that lie in your ear. Jesus does not love you. But the cross answers the charges of Satan. He says, I've loved you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Why doesn't God do something if he loves us? He does. He has done it already. He has sent Jesus Christ to redeem a world that was lost in sin. God has done something. But yet beyond that, Lucifer challenges God, says, why don't you do something? He has. He sent Jesus. Jesus died. The tomb is empty, though. Christ is alive. Why doesn't God do something? Not only has he done something in the past, he's doing something right now. Because we serve a risen Savior. He is now in heaven, resurrected from the dead. And he says to you, Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus says, is your heart broken? Jesus says, are you going through financial problems? Jesus says, does cancer rack your body? Jesus says, are there difficulties in your families? The Bible says, let us come confidently or boldly to the throne of grace, that we might have help in the time of need. Whatever you're going through, Jesus went through. Do you have physical pain on the cross with the nails driven through his hands and the crown of thorns upon his head and blood running down his face? His body shuddered with physical pain. You have rheumatism, arthritis. You have physical pain. You are suffering the results of a chemotherapy treatment. You're going through vomiting and physical pain. In his body, he suffered physical pain. Are you going through emotional pain? Somebody close to you rejected you. Judas rejected Jesus and sold him out. Peter denied him, cursed and swore, and said, I don't even know him. The Jews, the people he came to redeem, turned their backs on him. Jesus went through emotional trauma. Are you going through emotional trauma? Jesus understands. Financial difficulty? Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus understands every bit of physical, mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual pain that we go through. And he says, come to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. A number of years ago, there was a little boy selling newspapers. He was kind of a poor boy, but he always wanted a dog. And the kind of dog he wanted was a golden retriever. And he would get on his bike and pedal and pedal and pedal, deliver his newspapers. He'd say $5, $10, $15, $20. He wanted a purebred golden retriever. It was a number of years ago, so they were cheaper than they are today. And one day he was riding his bike and he came by this old farmer's house. In the front of the farmer's house, it said, dogs for sale. The little kid got off his bike and he went up to the farmer and said, you got dogs for sale? The farmer said, oh yeah, I got dogs for sale. You want to see them? And the farmer whistles. Dogs came running around the barn. Mama came running around. And four little puppies, the most beautiful golden retrievers that you could imagine. And these golden retrievers came on, and the boy sat in the grass. And he said to the farmer, how much are they? And the farmer said, $20. And the boy said, I've got $20. Which one shall I choose? And he played with this one. He played with that one. And he was about ready to choose one of those dogs. And pretty soon, another dog came around the corner. And as that dog came around the corner, its hind leg was being dragged. That dog was limping and limping and limping. And the little boy said to the farmer, whatever happened to that dog? He is the runt of the litter, and he was born crippled with a bad leg like that. Well, what are you going to do with him, sir? Well, I'm going to take him out in the back of the barn this afternoon and put a bullet through his head. I'm going to shoot him. He's no good for anything. The little kid said, I want that dog. I want that dog. Here's $20. Give me that dog. And the farmer said, Why do you want that dog? Why do you want that dog? You can have anyone. Why do you want that one? And as the boy began walking toward the dog, the farmer noticed that the boy had a little limp. And the boy held up his leg, and he pulled up his pant leg, and there were the telltale signs of a leather brace with metal reinforcements. The little boy had had polio when he was a child, and he couldn't ride the bike as fast as the other kids, and he couldn't run as fast as the other kids. And he looked up at the farmer, and he said to him, "Mister, that dog is going to need somebody that understands, and I do." Amen. In the sorrows of your life, when your life seems to be falling apart, when down is up and up is down, when the mountain is high and the journey is long, when the lump in your breast is diagnosed as cancer, when your retirement savings fall apart, when there's difficulty with the kids, you need somebody that understands. And Jesus does. Jesus does. Why doesn't Jesus do something? He will. He'll come into your life. He will give you new hope and new courage and new strength. Why doesn't Jesus do something? He has. He revealed his love on the cross. He will yet do something. He invites us to come to him. He's alive. We can find strength and grace through him in every moment of our life. In the struggles of life, why doesn't Christ do something? He will now, when you feel pulled apart by temptation, when the habits of your life are pulling you one way. He is a living Savior. The Christ of Revelation is all powerful, and he will beat back the forces of hell and temptation in your life. He's already fought Satan, and he won. Because the theme of Revelation is, everybody, Jesus wins and Satan loses. Jesus says, Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you." The Bible does not promise that bad things will never happen to good people. The Bible does not promise that if you serve Christ, you'll never have any reverses or difficulties or challenges in your life. The Bible does not promise that if you serve Christ, you'll always be healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you are looking for that kind of religion, you will not find it on this earth. And that sugar-coated candy cotton kind of religion is only going to let you down. We live in a world of suffering, a world of sickness. We live in a world where bad things happen to good people. But praise Jesus. He does not say no bad things will ever happen to us, but he does say, "Don't fear, my child. I'm going to be with you. Don't fear, my child. I am your God. I'm going to strengthen you." He says, "I'll strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." Whatever you have to go through in life, he's going to strengthen you. He's going to empower you. He is going to hold your hand. He will not let you fall. Why doesn't God do something? He has. He sent Jesus. Jesus revealed his love. Jesus lives in heaven. Jesus strengthens us for our trial. But the last chapter hasn't been written yet. The last drama has not occurred yet. The last inning in the ball game hasn't been played yet. Jesus will yet do something. The book of Revelation says that Jesus Christ is coming again. This world is not our home. Satan will finally fully be destroyed. The Bible says, Revelation 20, verse 10, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Therefore I brought fire from your midst, and it," oh Satan, this is Satan it's talking about, "it devoured you. And I turned you, Satan, to ashes upon the earth. You become a horror, and you shall be no more forever." The universe will see God's love. The universe will have a revelation of God's love. And soon, Jesus Christ will come. Soon, Satan will be destroyed. Soon, evil will be gone. Soon, wickedness will be banished. Soon, the devil, Lucifer, the dragon, will be no more forever. You and I can then look to a world that is a new heavens and a new earth, a world where there is joy, a world where there is gladness, a world where there is happiness, a world where there is peace, a world where there is no worry, a world where there is no stress, a world where there is no anxiety. The love of God, how great and far, how measureless and strong. It goes beyond the greatest star. God's love is reaching out to you at this moment.
You've been listening to Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. Tune in tomorrow for All Eyes on the Temple. Will Jerusalem's temple be rebuilt? Will Armageddon begin in the Middle East? The series begins tomorrow here on Hope Lives 365. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and remind you that you can find more and our many ministry resources at hopelives365.com. And you can also support this ministry by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, a final thought from Pastor Mark.
Sometimes in the midst of our deepest darkness, sometimes in the midst of our deepest sorrow, sometimes in the midst of our deepest pain, God gives to us the greatest revelation of Himself. Jesus came near to John there, and He comes near to you and to me in our suffering. He comes near to us in our heartache. There is an enemy of God, an enemy of man, Lucifer, the devil, the evil one, the fallen angel. He has sown the sorrow, the sickness, the suffering in our world. All of the suffering in our world is the result of a planet that is saturated in rebellion against God. Now the question is, why doesn't God do something about the suffering of our world? Why doesn't God do something? God has done something. God is doing something. God will yet do something. When Adam and Eve had sinned and the seeds of death were planted in their body, God gave them a promise in that garden.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.